Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey guys, it's Ade here. Yeah, we know. It's been a while. Now, before I continue, I'd like to personally apologize on behalf of the team for not letting you know that we plan to take a break. Things happened that we couldn't predict. So the first thing that happened was I had to personally go to Nigeria to resolve some issues. And as a podcaster, I've recorded this journey and we aim to publish this documentary in the near future. Another reason why we went on a long break was because Blacticulate got commissioned to produce University of Arts London's podcast, which the team could not refuse because, and full disclosure, we weren't making any money from our own podcast. The final reason why the break was so long was because we figured that pausing on 60 amazing episodes was more than enough. But what we didn't expect was that you guys really wanted more. So we knew we had to come back. And when we do, it had to be so much better than what we did before. And that's why today, I'd like to play you the first 10 minutes of our newest podcast called Stories That Stick.
I have a dream. Welcome to Stories That Stick, a podcast series about the stories that shape us.
Making Dreaming While Black was to say to everyone else out there, like, yo, I see you.
Listeners, before we begin, please know that we start all our conversations with death, because we believe that death truly makes us reflect about the life we live, and we aim, in our own little way, to share the life of our guest. And in today's episode, we have Salman Ajani, a film director and actor who's best known for his award-winning web series, Dreaming Whilst Black. That being said, we hope you enjoy today's episode. Let's talk about death.
Okay.
Are you scared of death?
No, I wouldn't particularly say I'm scared of death. I feel like if I was to be concerned about it at all, it would be to die without leaving a meaningful impact.
Right.
Yeah.
And what does that look like?
So a friend of mine, Anna, passed away last year, or is it 2 years now? I think it's last year. It feels like last year. White, middle-class English girl. She passed away from some infection that she got while in some weird place, but she was a filmmaker, and she turned to photojournalism. No, this is like a white 20-something-year-old girl, yeah? The way how she was in places like Slab City, by herself, just taking pictures of like the underbelly of America, and don't care. I remember when she passed, I was like, yo, brother, like, look how much she's done in the time, and look how she aggressively just attacked it, not caring, like, of consequences.
But do you think, I mean, without doing her a disservice at all, because especially rest in peace, don't speak ill of the dead, but her culture.
But that's what we need.
Right.
Let me tell you the difference between us. We've been taught, and you know, that whole twice as hard, half as much, all of them thing there. Mm-hmm. We've been taught to be qualified. Let's be clear. I wanted to be a filmmaker. I did at least 4 short courses on filmmaking while I was working in Jamaica. So I'd fly over here, do a short course, come back. Cool. Then I did a master's. Note, I already have a degree. I have a degree in architecture, but because I wanted to be a filmmaker, I did a master's in film. Ironically, when I applied for the master's, even though I'd been working in the industry for 3 years, They're like, oh, you know, we don't know because they don't have a background. I said, okay, cool. There's a 2-month film course in New York. I'll go to that during the summer so that I can prep for your thing. They're like, all right, cool. We'll give you a conditional acceptance based on that. So note, I did 4 short courses. Then I did a 2-month course. This is after working 3 years in the industry and then did a master's. You see, when I went to that master's program, I met someone who was a civil engineer up until June.
Oh, okay.
You see how I prepped?
Yeah, no, of course.
Be a filmmaker because I need to be qualified.
Yeah.
And man who just did whatever came in. There were people in my course who didn't know how to use a camera. No. Cool, you can say that's admissions issues, right? But the audacity to think, me in my brain knowing I've only ever done architecture, and say, oh, I want to be a filmmaker. I'm going to just do a master's. It's wild to me. Mm. I'm not qualified enough. I don't want to get drawn out. You know, part of whiteness, brother, is freedom and audacity. That's it. Sometimes it manifests in racist ways and terrible, like capitalistic ways. But just the audacity, no experience, no qualification, no expertise, nothing. But I can do it, though.
First decade of life. Do you have any fond memories? Any stories that stuck with you?
Well, there are loads of particular stories. Like, I feel like it would all boil down to summers in Jamaica, summers in Kingston particularly. So I moved to Jamaica when I was 5, but my mom and I lived in Montego Bay, which is like the second city. But my whole family lived in Kingston, so it was just us two. And obviously we'd go there like on weekends and, you know, try to go there and thing. But summers, I'd be like there the whole summer. You see me? And like, my family is a tight-knit family in terms of like my cousins,
right.
All part, you know what I'm saying? So like, I remember just being there the summer with y'all, like Nicholas and Tabu, and that whole street, it's weird. He lived on a street. When I go back, no, I'm like, this is actually a weird street even for Jamaica. So it's like a L-shaped dead-end road, completely residential area, which is weirdly in between like 3 bad areas. But this street, like this little ends, is decent, you know, like they're like teachers or police people, you know. Yeah. But we just inhabit that street, right? So because of that, we could play football in the street. We could play cricket in the street. Like where I run up and down, I play hide and seek on the whole street. It's a dead end road. The only way a child can escape, you have to run down the one street. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's a year where like, everybody get a bicycle for Christmas.
Every year, jeez.
No, but like, so 1 year, everybody got a bicycle.
Okay, got you.
So the whole of the way I ride bicycle and it's like, follow the leader. And, but because I was like the youngest, I was always like trying to keep up with them, man. You see me? So yeah, I thought like, no, they're like 12. I'm like 9. Even like there was 1 year where they were colluding like, yo, we could get the children this. And
that's
it's
really
like,
community based.
Yo, trust me. But then, my next door neighbor beat me. Holy pata. Matter of fact, she probably beat me more than my mother. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Why? What'd you do?
Yo, no, you know what? No, you know what? I wasn't rude. I would say I was mischievous, but they had a thing. Well, Auntie Jaya particularly had a thing where you see if one person do something, every man I get beat. Because that mean the person who did it, everybody else knew it was wrong.
You're complicit.
And you allowed the man to do it. And yo, I never did nothing. I would be like, no, say the man, I'm going to do something. Like, yo, dog, we're going to try to climb on the roof. Yo, my girl inside, I watch TV. I'm going to end up on it within the car. When she comes and licks her dash out, we can't say, yo, inside, I watch TV. We don't know nothing about that. But yeah, those summers were, those were great times.
Was it easy? Because it sounds like it was just you and your mum.
You know, it's funny, we talk about sacrifice of the previous generation. So my whole family moved over when my mom was like 8, 9 or so. In like Midlands, like Nottingham area, kind of side. And all of this, her siblings moved back except her. She became a lawyer here, actually. She was here, we were working. And when I was born, she kind of said, yo, like, am I going to raise a black boy on my own in South London?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, nah. So she moved back to Jamaica. And obviously, like, in terms of the economy and the money what she'll make is a massive cut, like, just standard of living shift. But she was just like, nah, she fears raising a black boy in South London.
Nah, I understand that. Was there any signs at that early age that helped make you see this world in a creative lens? Since your mum was a lawyer
Yes, yeah, Alice Walker. I didn't read for years. Like, I just hate read. Like, as soon as pictures came out of books, I'm done. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was this thing called, I don't know if you guys have it here, Hardy Boys.
Hardy Boys.
It's like a detective series of, you know, young teens and all of that shit. But they had like three pictures in the middle. So you have to read to the middle, see the three pictures, and then, bruv. At some point, we used to try to read to the middle and see the three pictures just to understand the three pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
But after that, I'm done. What is this? I was like, nah. But I do remember I was always drawing. So like painting, drawing, that kind of stuff. So I guess that would be a creative outlet. It's funny because I remember Christmas time, you draw like, you know, the birth of Jesus kind of thing. You know, you draw some religious drawing thing. And I drew my, like, you know, Jesus, all the disciples and everything. But everybody was black. I just used a brown crayon to draw everybody. And the teacher called my mom and she asked her, she's like, what do you teach your son? And it's weird because my mother and I have never had like conscious discussions or, you know, like educating me about the world or none of them.
Does she not have those usual tropes then that you do have to work twice as hard? Well, I mean, no. How does she prep you?
So her thing wasn't twice as hard. Her thing was always be the best. Okay. But remember, I grew up in Jamaica, so everybody blacks is not twice as hard for half as who. Like, you know what I mean?
That's very true.
But her thing was, you need to be your best as well as the best.
Is there a danger to strive for best?
I don't know. It depends on the child. I do think it depends on the child. And I do feel like she, whether correctly or incorrectly, valued me to say, look, this is a smart child.
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm going to push him to be the best of himself. Yeah. And I guess because my report card has always said, could do better, no matter what me get. That was always it. So I think that used to just piss her off. So he's like, he's messing around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, watch TV till the moment that she come home, lock it off, open up the book, and then I can let me study. Like, that's how I remember my child. You see me? Mm-hmm. So I guess she always knew that, yo, man, like, you're not fulfilling your potential. And I guess for her, she made a sacrifice. She had a nice little life down there working in the city as a lawyer and them thing there. And she gave that up to move back to Jamaica.
If you like the sound of it, then please, please subscribe to Stories That Stick wherever you get your podcast from. Sorry we've been gone for so long, but we're back. And we're hoping to be here for a very long time. You guys are the best. Stay blessed.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.